I had a mate of mine who was an art student, and he asked me if I'd like to go along with him one night to see what went on there. He said, well, I got nothing on, so I went along, you see. And when I got there, they had a lady model, and she had nothing on either. And she was, but she had her back to the audience. It was a study from the rear, you see. Anyway, it was very entertaining watching the boys sketching. And then they had a break after about 2 hours. And this silly girl, do you know what? When they all came back, she'd been sitting on a cane-bottom chair. And they had to put a hot iron on her before they could start again.
Mrs. Lake, how would you pass the time? Do you, in fact, have you had to model?
Yes, I was working this morning. Oh, thinking about this programme.
You were working this morning. How do you concentrate? What do you think about?
The money.
It's not worth it, thinking about, no.
What are they paying now?
About 12 bob an hour.
Oh. Get away.
Oh, really?
It's not worth getting the fluff out of your navel for, is it?
Thank you very much, G-Man. Thank you, Mrs. Fred Lake. Mr. Malcolm Hewison, can we hear your question?
Caught up in a revolution and about to be shot by a firing squad, the members of the team are promised a reprieve if they make the officer in charge laugh. How would they set about doing this?
Caught up in a revolution and about to be shot by a firing squad, the members of the team are promised a reprieve if they make the officer in charge laugh. How would they set about doing this?
I'll take my clothes off.
That will make him sick, not laugh. We don't want him lying on the floor vomiting while they're all shooting you.
No, I think like cardio, I'd do a Brian Ricks. And just as they were going to shoot, I'd drop my trousers. As a matter of fact, I think I'd be glad to drop my trousers. I don't know.
Do come in, Vicar.
The leader of the firing squad, yes, I think I'd make sure that he was loaded and the guns weren't. And they might miss me, you know. But the only revolution I've been caught up in was when I met my wife in a swing door, and we've been going around together ever since, you know.
Jimmy
it's a very unlikely situation.
I would do my impressions, because they are very...
Both of them? Fat lady getting into bar, fat lady getting out of bar.
No, I also do fat
and
lady...
And you say no trumps.
I also do fat lady in bar, but you can't see
you
it.
You can't do that. Your time alive?
Of course. Your rubber duck gets in the way.
No.
I would go...
It looks like a stranded walrus.
I would go to the leader of the firing squad, and I would say to him, I'd say, when he offered me the cigarette, I would say, no thanks, I'm trying to give it up. And then I'd get away in the nicotine, you see.
Let me just tell you, let me just give you one of my impressions and see if it wouldn't make this leader laugh.
Tell us who it is.
Let's assume that Mr. Hewison is, in fact, the officer in charge of the firing squad.
He doesn't look as though he'd do it.
If you fail to make him laugh, he's going to shoot you. Should try.
He looks too nice, a sort of a chap, all that lovely smile and dimpled face and everything. Well, anyway, all right, you're the firing squad, Hewison, are you? Captain, yeah. I say, Captain...
Captain Hewison!
Here you are, Captain. Here's something to make you laugh. I'd say, here's my impersonation of the Pied Piper of Hamelin. You dirty wretch, you.
That's very funny.
Oh, I like that.
He's laughing. I saved my life.
Can I save mine? Can I save mine?
You've saved your life. You have, Jim. Great.
You know what I do?
Jim, I think you made a mistake. Your impression should have been of the Pie-Eyed Piper, shouldn't it?
I don't like you insulting my friend like that.
That's good. Right?
Cardew Robinson.
Well, I'll kill him too.
Cardew.
I would do the cockerel coming out of a farmyard backwards. Do doodle a cock.
Right, well, I think any flat-footed gag, you know, would do. He'd obviously say, I have brought you here to die. And you'd say, you should have brought me here yesterday.
Now that's going to let you off a cheek.
That has got a laughing pantomime for 50 years.
He's too easily amused, this fellow Hewison, I can see that.
Yes, he wouldn't make a good firing officer. I've thought of a way of holding up my execution for a long time. I'd ask if I could sing my favourite song. And if you said yes, I'd sing, A Million Men Went to Mow, A Million Men to
Mow. Thank you very much, and thank you very much, Mr. Hewison. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hewison.
Yes.
And now, team, if you listen very carefully, and very carefully, you will hear a question
From Mrs. Sylvia Webb.
Does the team think that celebrities appearing on Desert Island Discs choose records they really like, or those they think present a good image to their public?
Aha. Does the team think that celebrities appearing on that program called Desert Island Discs choose records they really like, or those that they think present a good image to their public?
Well, I think I can speak with authority here, because I am in the Guinness Book of Records as being the person who's appeared most on Desert Island Discs.
Baby Guinness Book of Records.
No, no, it's just...
Lovely.
No, but it is true. I think a lot of people do it for effect. They choose the records to give them a good image. I mean, I remember when the Archbishop of Canterbury was on, he asked for "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog."
Did you change your records every time you went on, or did you have the same record?
I did, no, with a very, very, very slightly different. In the eight, I should say, in each one, there were about six were the same.
Yeah.
Each time, I had a Mick Jagger record, because that made me think about the curses of civilization. And I was very happy to stay on a desert island.
Funnily enough, thinking along the same lines, Arthur, the last time I appeared on, I've only been on it twice, not three times, so I'm not in the Guinness Book of Records, except for the number I've drunk.
You're in the Scotch.
How many records did you have, Jim? Eight? I thought you'd have had one over the eight.
Amusing. But there,
thank you, Madam. Thank you, Mother.
I told you not to clap the others. What's the matter with you? Thinking of along the same lines as Arthur, I did have a record on the last one of a jet aeroplane taking off to remind me of the same thing.
When I did mine, many years ago, I made a kind of a selection.
Before they had gramophone records, wasn't it?
Mine were done on wax cylinders. But you see, the thing is, you must have a variety of music because of your temperament at the time. And I'm not exactly a pop fan. I like happy music, but I picked two classical records. Come into the garden, Maud, and speak to me, Thor. That wasn't bad, was it?
Cardew, have you ever been on Desert Island?
Well, it's funny, my name being Robinson, you'd have thought I'd been the first person to be asked.
Why?
But I...
Because you're crucial.
No, Robinson had his man Friday and his women Saturday. That's
true.
Right, isn't it?
But if I was asked, I'd take eight covers of my own LPs. Any chance I'd ever get it on the radio?
Oh, Lord Plumley will tell you, he had a well-known soprano, she still goes about. She chose eight of her own records.
Yeah.
And she's a lousy singer.
I'll tell you what, I've written down some that Arthur ought to take, you know, connected with his statue, like Climb Every Molehill. I'm looking under a four-leaf clover. And Your Frozen Hand Is Tiny.
Yeah. No, I don't think I'd bother with records. If I was wrecked on a desert island, I would pray that the only survivors would be a tattooed lady and myself. And then when we got tired of making love, we could look at the pictures.
You heard about the fellow who was shipwrecked on the desert island with six lovely ladies, didn't you?
No.
It was very, you know, very hard on him because he had to look after one every night.
Did he really?
And then suddenly he thought if only one other fellow would arrive, and he saw a fellow swimming towards the island, and he rescued him. He said, "Hello," and this fellow said, "Hello." He said, "Oh, God, this goes me day off."
Team, I think because she's so pretty, and I'd like to ask Mrs. Webb a question. Mrs. Webb, which of these members of this team would you like to have on the desert island with you? Or take with you, I mean.
Oh, I don't think I'd take any.
Now, wouldn't you love to see Jim in running round like a little sun-kissed raisin, sitting under a palm tree singing, "I've got a lovely bucket"?
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, Mrs. Webb. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, one of the pillars of British comedy, for so many years both as a co-writer of Take It From Here, Wacko, and other top shows too humorous to mention, and as a performer in his own right. My word, it's Frank Muir. Welcome to the program,
Roger
Frank.
Taylor.
Have a seat. I'll start now.
Has the team any new ideas for panel games? Go.
Has the team any new ideas for panel games?
I just said
go.
Go, 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 go.
The answer to that must be no. There aren't any new ideas for panel games. Surely they've all been done.
I think a very simple game, as Jimmy says, that it's all been done, but there is a kind of permutation of this kind of thing. And with the way the driving is nowadays, I think that each contestant will be provided with a car door and a hammer. And the first one to beat the panel would be given free parking.
Ted, the driving one's been done. That's what's my lane.
What? Oh.
Oh. Like it, Frank. I like it. There's a slimming track. One, too, called What's My Lean.
I've got one for you. I have a panel, and contestants come on and state their jobs, and the panel have to guess how long they've been on strike.
I think I ought to warn the team that Frank Muir is doing an audition for this program, so better be good on the answers.
Oh, well, I've done them all. I mean, you know, going for a song?
Yes, it's
where they judge the antiques, and I was in that. I was an exhibit.
It was a garden gnome.
What were you, Ming or Tang?
No, it was a pong. A very hot day, I remember.
The bee came along and he was stung.
A new panel game in the Senate in America now. They have all these senators sitting around and they have a very large male rabbit and they call it passing the buck. Thank you, folks. I can't do any better than that. Good night.
I wonder if...
What about, passing the buck or who's getting the dough?
Don't rabbit on.
Why did you bring... Mac, why did you bring this fellow? And he's shooting us down in flames.
I told you he's doing an audition.
Isn't that what's called a litter from America? They don't call them litter.
Borrow your money.
But listen, the thing is, I thought Frank was talking about, when I first heard the question, about television panel games.
I wasn't saying. I mean,
I thought
television.
You were talking about radio. I'm getting them mixed up now. Radio's where you can't see them, isn't it? It's much better. Much better, isn't it?
It's not fair to rush television down like this. You see, my old grandmother lives with me. Well, the wife's mother, really. And she sits there...
That's where you get your jokes from.
Yes. And she loves... Well, without television, her life would be non-existent because she sits there and she loves the Westerns. Every night she sits there watching the programme and she even wears cowboy boots. Nothing else, just boots.
Doesn't she?
And they opened the back of the set the other day and brought out 100 dead Indians.
I think, team, it'd be really polite to give our celebrity guest a chance.
Yeah.
Frank, have you any ideas for some panel games?
Not for a guest fee, no.
Oh, I see.
And if he has, he wants them copyrighted straight away. It
would be rather nice to do one concerning the mating habits of this panel.
Oui. How dull.
We only mate about twice a week, don't we?
Yeah. Mate every 7 years.
We could call it Does the Team.
Should ask, Frank, because only this morning. No,
I'd be very good on the repeats.
There he goes, boasting again.
Does the team stink, is what we usually call the programme amongst ourselves.
Nobody's arguing.
What makes you think that you're the only people who call it that?
Well, we do refer to it affectionately as stinks. We know that.
It takes us
back to our school days. And I think it was Ted Taylor, our producer, who first invented the phrase. He said, he rings me up and he says, and it's marvellous because I don't know how he gets through. I'm not on the phone.
They take messages at the corner shop, that.
He says, what are you doing next Thursday, and we're going to do another stinks, you see. But I have a great one, Frank. There I go, boasting again. No, I have a very good idea. This is a game we used to play in Liverpool at Christmas time. 6 men, including my father. Well, he said he was my father.
Oh, they caught him, did they?
They caught him, yes. And he was cross-eyed, I asked him how he got cross-eyed, and he said, well, it happened when I was born, because they were on the recreation ground, he and my mother, and he said, you look one way and I look the other, you see. So... No.
Very good.
No.
Thank you, Frank.
No. But these 6 men used to sit around.
What 6 men? I've forgotten about them.
Well, the man was allegedly my father, and these 5 other chaps, all booze, you see.
Oh,
and they gave them all a bottle of whiskey, and they all had to finish the whiskey, and then one of them went out, and the other 5 had to guess who it was.
I still like the cross-eyed gag,
but they also, she was so cross-eyed that remember when she cried? the tears run down the back.
Oh, yes.
She suffered from bacteria.
Bacteria!
Thank you very much, team, and thank you, Frank Muir. Thank you very much, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Mrs. D.E. Farrow is sitting on my right. Mrs. Farrow will put her question. Here it is.
Have members of the team ever thought of being stuntmen? And which stunt would they most like to perform?
Have members of the team ever thought of being stuntmen? And which stunt would they most like to perform?
Mrs. Farrow?
Yes?
I've never had to say this to anyone in my life. Mrs. Farrow, isn't it lovely? Was your husband by any chance related to the great Farrow? A egg wiped. Because I think Cardew was. Every time he opens his mouth, the bull rushes.
Were you born east of sewage?
That's the pollution of the question, I think.
I don't believe in stuntmen. All my film life, I did my own stunts. And when they were looking for a new James Bond, Roger Moore beat me to it. But I wanted to be 007, but they would insist he called it 003 and a half.
But you could do your own stunts. You've got nowhere to fall. You're so near the
well, if I
the only man that could walk under a cow without getting milk.
Arthur.
Oh, think of another joke.
Arthur, it's not surprising, really, that you always did your own stunts. After all, you are a bit stunted.
Oh, what a terrible thing to say. Boo, get off. Get a new chair.
But he can't help it. His father fell off the ladder.
Of course.
Well, I remember being at the Palladium once, sitting in the audience with Val Parnell, and a fellow came on for an audition. I said, Val, do you mind if I watch? He said, no. And a fellow came on the stage, and he said, Mr. Parnell, I think I've got something that you really need for this show. And he climbed up to the gallery, and Parnell looked up, horrified, and said, what are you going to do? And this fellow said, I'm going to dive headfirst onto that stage. Well, this was unbelievable. The fellow dived, and he dived. He went straight on the stage, and he put his fingers under his chin and danced off. And Parnell said, it's terrific, but he said, cut out the sissy finish. He said, sissy finish, I broke me ruddy neck.
Oh, dear, that, dear.
I mean, I don't know whether you, like me, spend a great deal of time... I don't think
Mrs. Farrow is like you at all. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, she's Farrow, but your hair...
Mrs. Farrow, why did you ask this question?
I saw Jimmy Edwards on Sunday afternoon. Doing what? A stunt, actually.
Really?
What was that, darling?
Well, there are stunts still going on.
Are you able to tell us, Mrs. Ferris?
Yes, I can.
Buy the drink.
He was actually playing polo in Hertfordshire.
Oh, that's not easy. I had no horse at the
and
time.
And he scored a goal, although his team didn't
chucker.
Win.
A chucker.
She's jolly good. No, a goal, you ignorant. No,
a chucker's half time.
Let this lady talk about me for a minute, will you? Yeah. I didn't put her up to it. There's a bit of shame. No.
And I believe the team's called the Wackos.
We call the team Wacko, darling, because it's all, and the colours are off-white with frequent black marks.
That's true.
And when you scored this goal, did they kiss you, Jim, like they do at football?
No, the horses don't kiss you, no.
Well, they showed their appreciation. Jim grows rhubarb. I love saying it, Mrs. Bear.
Yeah,
lovely name.
Got to ask her. We must ask her.
I must
about
ask
the name.
Yeah.
We've got to ask her.
But can I ask her this first, Carl?
Please, be my guest.
Now, today, you see, today I saw. It's still going on. These people will do anything to draw attention to themselves. You see, this fellow was climbing the post office tower. And there was a tremendous crowd. All the cars were jammed. Everyone stopped, naturally. And this fellow climbed up the post office tower. They said, what did you do that for? He said, to prove I'm a first class male. Make your own jokes,
huh? Can we get back to talking about me again, Mrs.
Oh, God.
Polo. How did I look?
Polo is under the bed with him.
Did you think that it was a stuntman doing it or something?
Well, the whiskers gave you away, actually.
The whiskers gave me away.
Ah, you thought it was Hattie Wheatcroft.
You mean, apart from the whiskers, Jim looks very commonplace.
Yes.
Was right. It a real horse, or was it two men in a skin?
Well, I saw him wind it up before he got on it.
I wasn't winding it up, madam. I was...
running it down.
Thank you very much, G-Man. Thank you very much, Mrs. Farrow. Thank you.
I'm going to find out where that man comes from. One of the best horses. Very good.
Mr. Arthur Peacock is here. Mr. Arthur Peacock will put the question, and this is it.
If the members of the team had the chance to open a retail shop in a country village that already had all the normal services, which shop would